during the last few psukim of Perek Yotes, which is chapter 19 in Parshas Kedoshim. As we said, Parshas Kedoshim seems to go on forever because every pasuk has so much. Some psukim have more than one mitzvah. Certain mitzvahs are spread over a few psukim, but there's so many beautiful and interesting concepts in each one, so it does take time to go through. So today we're going to, we went a little bit out of order 2 weeks ago, so we're going to go back a pasuk and then we're going to skip and go a bit. But today we'll start with Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Pasuk 27 in Perek Yotes. And the pasuk tells us, just before that we had a concept of not, as he said, you shall not be over the blood, you shall not practice divination. And then last, then 2 weeks ago, again, we discussed the Oyven Yedaini, those ways of looking to the future that are forbidden. But now we're going to a whole different halacha. So let's see what he says. And all of these halachas, the one common denominator is that they are all found in Parshas Kedoshim, which we'll see today. What they do is, in some, each one in their own way, bring out a certain level of kedoshim, holiness. As we know, holiness is sanctity. Sanctity is the idea of being separate, above a little bit, connected to Hashem. So it all has something to do with some type of kedusha. Okay, so this is not a halacha class. Okay, I'll tell you right now, because some of the things we're going to discuss today, maybe they can be a few shiurim from somebody else who wants to go into all the halachas. This is just a chumash class, which means we're just going to see in the basic source in the chumash. You'll see why I'm saying that, because this is an interesting one. This one is the mitzvah in Pasuk of Zayin, a mitzvah loy sa'aseh, a negative commandment, loy sakifu pa'as reishchem, which literally means you shall not round off the edge of your scalp. In a minute, we'll see where Rashi tells us what that is. There's another mitzvah. You see, it says vilay, so this means another one. And what else shouldn't you do? Vilay sashchis es pa'as zikanecha. And you shall not round off the edge of your beard. Okay, so let's understand before we go further. Do you know, I just want to read one more pasuk, even though it's a different mitzvah. They're all going to be connected in one way or another. We'll see soon how. V'seret la'nefesh loy sitnu b'psarchem. You shall not make in your flesh a scratch. It says over here, over a soul, which means if somebody passes away. Uksayves kaka loy titnu b'chem. You shall not place a tattoo upon yourselves. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, your God. Okay, so there's a few mitzvahs here, and let's understand starting from the first one. Let's see how Rashi translates the first part of Pasuk Chav Zayin. What is this talking about when we say we shall not round off the edge of your scalp? Okay, so let's see quickly Rashi. Rashi says you shall not round off the edge of your scalp. So he says, Ze hamashve tzda. This is the one who makes his temples even. L'achayrai aznav, with the area behind his ears. L'fadachtai, and his forehead. V'nimtza hakeif reisha, it is thus found that the circumference of his head, it's an interesting, it's a hard thing because he's trying to describe a picture, but we'll see in a second, it becomes, is rounded off, agul, saviv parametrically. Sha'ala chayrei aznav, for on the area behind his ears, as we say, ikrei sa'arai, the roots of his hair, L'mayla mitz'adav harbe, are much higher than his temple. So what is he talking about? I just want to show you here, number two. So he says, it's very interesting, they discuss which part of the head, but simply this is the mitzvah of rounding off, this is not the beard, this is before the beard, this is where we have the idea of leaving the pace. So this is the idea of rounding the head, where you cut the hair in a way which is all symmetrical. So you go from, you know, there's different opinions how you translate it exactly, but from the whole forehead all the way around, cut above the ear, which means you don't have the two sides, the payas left. And as we know, it is a mitzvah to leave the payas on the head, which is the two sides by near the ears. So this is the command against this way of cutting the hair. In a minute, we'll see why. But just to understand one more thing of the pasuk, because the second part of the pasuk said, so this one was the peis, and the second part is the beard. So let's see how he says, how does Rashi translate what the beard is? So he says, pa'as ganecha, the edge of your beard. This refers to soif hazakein, the end of the beard, ugvulav, and its extremities, vehein chamesh, and they are five, which means that there are five points on the face which are not allowed to be razored off, cut off completely with a razor. So what does he say? Shtayim b'chol lechi v'lechi, two on each cheek, l'mayla at the top, etzel harosh, next to the head, shahu rochav, for the cheek is wide, v'yesh bay shtei peyos, and it has two edges, v'achas l'mata, and one below, b'santre at his chin, mokem chibor shnei halachayim yachad, the place where the two jaws connect with each other. We don't know exactly where, but there are five points on the face which are not permitted, and because of that, so therefore the entire face area for a man is not permitted to be razored off with a full razor, which means something that totally cuts to the skin. A scissors is a very different thing, and we know now we have shavers that are like a scissors, where it doesn't actually totally touch the skin. So that's a whole different thing. But here we're saying, from the Torah, the strict halacha, that it shouldn't be totally razored off. Okay, let's see. I just want to see if there's anything in here I wanted to see on the bottom. Let me just see this one. The edges. Okay, it doesn't matter about the edges or the... I just want to see... Okay, so it doesn't matter about the specific, as we say, we're not doing a halacha lesson here. I want to understand just a little bit, what is this mitzvah? What's it coming from? Where does it come in here from, and what is it? Okay, so obviously it doesn't really apply to us as women. Fascinatingly enough, we'll see soon that Kabbalistically, the hair on a man's face is considered chesed, whereas the hair on his head is considered Gevura, which is fascinating, and that's why he cuts his hair shorter, but the beard you don't cut. But it's an interesting thing, and with a woman how it works, but there's a whole separate thing, and it doesn't even mention women here. So we won't go into that. Let's just see quickly. I want to see three mefarshim, just a cute one, the Balaturim. The Balaturim says, Loi sakifu, as we said, you shouldn't round. So he says, interesting, bigematria, it's the same gematria as Echad hamakif ve'echad hanikof chayovim heim. Very interesting. Who is so to speak, falls into the category of this mitzvah? Who is obligated to keep it? So both the person who it's done to, and if somebody else does it to him. So if for example, you razor off somebody's face, then you are also committing an avera. So it's not just for the one who it's done to, but the one who does it as well. Okay, so both. That's just a fascinating thing. Let's just see a little bit more of what this mitzvah is. I mean, we're going to start to get a little taste from the Eben Ezra. Even though the Eben Ezra is not a Kabbalistic explanation, but he gives us quite a straightforward, simple explanation. I will see, I'll tell you in a minute what the Rambam says. The Eben Ezra says, V'tam, what's the reason for this not rounding off? And he puts them all together, not rounding off the head, so where you have this type of it's a kind of a haircut that they used to have, and we'll see in a minute who used to have it, but... And also not taking off the whole beard. So he says, V'tam la'askir, lo'y sakifu pa'as ro'yishchem. So he says, K'maise ha'goyim. This was the way that the non-Jews, and we'll see specifically who of the non-Jews used to do it in those times. And therefore, he says, why do we have this mitzvah? Lihiyos muvdalim mehem. This mitzvah is one of the mitzvahs. As we say, Parashas Kadesh means to make a separation. That's what Kadesh is, sanctity. To be separate from them. So we don't want to be like, look the same as all the nations around us. We want to have a uniquely Jewish look. And the uniquely Jewish look is not to have that type of a haircut and not to cut the beard that way. So let's see, he says like this. Then he says something else fascinating. That the hair on the head and the beard is created for tiferes. It is something which gives a person a certain beauty, and we'll see what type of a beauty we mean, a certain glory, a certain divine beauty. Therefore, ein ra'il hashchisay, you shouldn't totally, that's what it means, to razor it off. We didn't read. Oh yeah, we did read. But the next pasuk, we said that a person shouldn't cut to their flesh. That some people used to do in those times when they were mourning excessively, they would actually cut into their flesh. And he says it's connected. Ki yesh mi sheyashchis pa'as reishei gam pa'as zaken ba'avor hames. There were some people who in those days, the way that they would show their mourning, and they would mourn extremely excessively, and part of that came from the fact that they felt that there is no immortality to the soul, which means that when the person is gone, he's totally gone, and therefore you lose yourself totally. So part of that was not only cutting into the flesh, but was also shaving off the entire head of hair, as well as shaving off the entire beard. And because of that, the Evan Ezra says these are some of the reasons that the Torah prohibits us from acting in that way. That's the Evan Ezra. We're going to go a little bit more. I want to just show you the Svarnu, and then we'll see a few other beautiful insights. See, the Svarnu says, that you shouldn't round, as we say. And he says that we shouldn't, in a way, almost desecrate ourselves with making that type of a haircut. Why? Interesting. Very strong language. Kimaise shaitim vishikairim. Like the fools and the, I don't know, the alcoholics, the ones who were shikar all the time. In other words, this was a low kind of a way that they would dress in those days, that they would wear. This was their style. And again, we want to distinguish ourselves and remain holy, so we don't behave in that way. Oy, and this is a big one, and this is, we'll see, this leads into the Rambam, Kaimrim. What is a Kaimer? A Kaimer is a priest. And this was a very big thing, that the priests of those times, and we actually even have it now in the Buddhists and the Hindus, some of them also have these types, specific things that they do with their hair, specific ways of cutting it, whether shaving it off totally or rounding it or having different types of shapes. And we want to stay away from that type of behavior. As he says, v'loy b'giluah hazakein, and not to raise off the beard. Ka'amram hadras panim zakein. And this also leads to another thing. So we mentioned the idea of the priests. There's also a concept of hadras panim zakein, that when a person has a beard, there is a certain, there's not even a good translation for that word, but hadras panim means that a person has a majestic face, a face of a divine type of a face that we would call a Jewish look. And it is mirroring Hashem. We'll see in a minute soon a little bit more about that. V'loy b'seret l'nefesh kim machshivim ma'oid misas ha'adam. As we said, you shouldn't cut into your flesh, just like those people who put such an emphasis, nebach, on when somebody passes away, which is obviously very, very painful. But the pain that they display is a pain which shows that they feel that the person is totally gone and they don't exist at all anymore. Umis ablim ma'oid aleha, and they mourn excessively. V'chein b'ksuv, b'ksayves kaka, and apparently some people used to do tattoos also in mourning. Laseis ois bibsarenu, to make a mark in the flesh. Milvad ois habris, he says, the only mark we're allowed to do is the bris mila. That's the only one that we're permitted to do. And then he goes on, because he goes to the continuation of the psukim, it talks about not allowing our daughter, or not putting our daughter in a position where she will be in an immoral position. Asher he who chilul law, it's actually desecration for her and for her father. He says ki inyan ki tochel liznus, because then she will begin to lead a life of immorality. And she will desecrate herself and her father. So it all continues against all this concept of leading a life, which is a life which is not a Jewish life, not a life of a higher dignity. After we tell all of these things that we are not permitted to do in order to stay away from these negative behaviors, so he says, Tziva lekabe des hayamim. Then he begins, and we did that last time, the idea of the honor of the days and the places and the people, the holy people. And that's what we'll get to after. So first we talk about what we're not permitted to do to desecrate. And then we will go how we respect. What do we do as far as treating with dignity and with honor? Okay, that's just an interesting, as we say, the flow. But let's understand a little more. I think I have one more inside and then I'll just share something with you. So here we have the Rabbeinu Bechaye, and he says, what's the idea of not taking a razor totally and, you know, with the beard, with the hair on the face? So he says, simply, al derech hapshat, what's the simple reason? Tam ha'isr, the reason for, that this is forbidden. Kadei shelo yivatel ha'simin, so that we should not, and this is a fascinating one, we should not nullify the sign, shehakadosh baruch hu rosham, that Hashem imprinted, bimin hazachar, on the male, kidei lahavdilai mimin hanakeva, which makes him different to a woman. Fascinating. According to some opinions, this goes into lo yilbash gever, that a man is not permitted to wear woman's clothing. And this is, in some, according to some opinions, this fits into that category. As you can see how the Rabbeinu Bechaye says it, it's a distinction between the male and the female, and we want to retain that distinction. And he says, Ki ha'isa kein heipach Hashem ha'isa, if you do this, you're doing exactly the opposite of how Hashem created the world. As he said, similar to the idea, kimi shezayreya kilayim. Remember when we talked about how when you plant the different seeds together and you make things, some things Hashem separated, some things Hashem wants together. So if Hashem made distinctions, certain things, he wants us to retain those distinctions. And when we take that away, we are going to forbidden ground, so to speak. He says, everything Hashem did when he created the world, it says, limineu, to its kind. Okay, another interesting insight. He says, what's that? And this is such a fascinating thing, which is taking it totally out of context, just a symbolic meaning. What's the symbolic meaning? We said, and it's not so clear exactly where, but there are 5 points on the face which are forbidden to actually raise. The truth is, if we knew exactly where they were, you would be permitted to take a razor even on the rest of it, between, but because we don't know exactly, so you don't take a razor, we're talking a mamish, to the face on any part. You rather take whatever kind of scissors, shaver, whatever it is, that's permissible, the permissible way of cutting it. But he says a very interesting thing. So here we're going to get a symbolic reason. Lefisha kol pu'ulaysof shel adam, all the actions of a person, all of the way a person functions, nimshachos achar chamisha chushim, it's done with 5 senses. Hashem gave each and every one of us 5 senses, right? We see, we hear, we touch, we smell, we taste. And he says, shabai ve'ein ro'i lahashbisam, and it is not fitting for us to totally destroy them mimalachtam. In other words, to make them not work. So obviously, if Hashem, why would we want to? But the one that we could think of is perhaps taste. A person might think, wouldn't it be good if we don't taste at all? Then we won't be tempted to eat what we shouldn't eat, right? That would be wonderful. Sometimes people might say, perhaps it would be good to dim our eyes so we shouldn't see what we're forbidden to see. The ears would be good if we didn't hear so well. Sometimes we'll say, wow, imagine if we didn't hear so well, we wouldn't hear all the Lashon Hara. So he says an interesting thing. Hashem gave us these senses. And the truth is that these senses, as we know, open us up. They make us vulnerable. That's what they do. They're the gates which allow the outside world in. And sometimes we don't know many of the things that they allow in are perhaps things that we would rather wouldn't come in. So he says a fascinating thing. How are we supposed to deal with it? So he says, for sure, you're not allowed to destroy them totally. That's not the Jewish way, right? You don't take away the sense of taste. You don't take away the sense of sight. You don't take away the sense of hearing. What do you do? Because, first of all, you can't live without them. But it is fitting that you should satisfy yourself with what is permissible and what is necessary. And he should allow, obviously, whatever is needed so that he can sustain himself, but don't overindulge, right? So yes, taste, but don't overindulge, right? Don't listen to everything that's out there. Don't look at everything that's out there. Obviously, we have to curtail, so we have to put certain guards, certain limitations. Use it, but use it with discretion. Use it properly. Not in its entirety, so to speak, not you know, how do you say it, with no limitations, with no boundaries. So that's connected to here, he says, because just like there are five points on the face, there are five senses. And what do we say? We say, very fascinating thing. He says we are not permitted to take a razor, right, which would mean to totally eradicate. That would mean we're not permitted to totally eradicate the five senses. But what are we? Yes, and he says, "V'hu ashar l'adam v'sairus v'remes sheyefshel elahaver mimenu chamisha choshim legamre." You can't eradicate them totally. Gihayom abed gufa, because you would destroy your body. Umachchis esatzma, and destroy yourself. Aval hutar hagiluach b'misparayim, but you are permitted to take a scissors. What does that mean to take a scissors? Lahasher ktsas haseya, right, to leave some of the hair. V'ein zakare hashchasa, and this is not considered totally destroying it. So in other words, the way we're supposed to deal with it is to take a scissor, so we cut certain parts out. In other words, we make sure not to overindulge, but we use it with discretion. And that's how we learned it. It's a, like it's totally not connected, but it's a hint, if you want to say, a symbolic meaning, because of the five places on the face, the scissors, the razor, the five senses. So with the five senses, you don't take a razor, you don't eradicate. You'd never do that. You never close your eyes totally. But what you do is you put on certain type of glasses where you can see only the good, hopefully, and not the bad. Okay, that's what he says. And then hopefully then you can live properly. Okay, that's the Rabbeinu B'chai. Before now, this is the next part. I just want to show you, tell you something beautiful, just to understand a little bit more about this concept, because we did mention a few ideas. So the Rambam, Maimonides, as well as the Sefer HaChinuch, he mentions this idea, says, what's the root of this mitzvah? What's the source of this mitzvah? Why is it forbidden for us to get this type of haircut, to cut the beard this way? So he says it's really steeped in the concept of idolatry, that especially in those days, people who would worship idols would cut their hair this way, would shave their hair off the face this way, and therefore to steer us away, as we know, we have many mitzvahs in that category, to keep us clear of anything to do with idolatry, even if it's just the way they looked when they went to serve idols. Therefore, we are forbidden to engage in that behavior. So that was the way the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch look at it. Again, to steer us clear mainly of idolatry. I just want to read you one thing the Sefer HaChinuch says, interesting thing. He says that this is even more than just some of the other behaviors, because with this, we have a mark on our face. We have a mark on our body. And an interesting thing, he says that when you, I'll just read you in English, he says that the root of this precept lies the purpose. We wrote in the nearby sections about rounding off the head and shaving the beard. So he says, this too is for that reason, as it is a custom. I wanted to read one other point, because he says what happens is that when we do this, when we don't do this, or when we do, let's say, when we take off the beard in the proper way and we don't take off the beard in the improper way, we are actually physically leaving a mark on ourselves. And that's constantly a reminder. When we leave payas, it's a constant reminder. We are different. So it has that effect where you're actually leaving something on your body, which keeps your focus in the right way, that you are staying clear of the idol worship. So that all fits into that category. Okay, I want to just share with you just a few beautiful ideas more. And he says like this, interestingly, this concept of staying clear of Avodah Zarah, as we said, this was the Rambam's way. The Tur, which was a very great halachic authority, he opposed this type of interpretation. He said, better we shouldn't even look for any type of underlying reason, says like a chayk. Because the reason that he said that is because if you look for reasons, sometimes what you can do is that you can sometimes find areas where you can engage in it, right? If the reason doesn't apply, or if something can override the reason. And that's what he was concerned about. And I'll show you something quite amazing. It says that, very interesting thing, the Turei Zahav holds that the Rambam wanted to provide for possible relaxation of this law in case of necessity arising out of confrontations with the non-Jewish authorities. And it's interesting, and the Shulchan Aruch grants similar permission in other cases, perhaps it was against precisely such conclusions that the Tur wanted to protest. So again, interestingly enough, There was obviously discussion in, obviously in certain methods are totally forbidden, but certain are permissible and certain are acceptable. And it depends obviously which, I don't know what you want to call it, but which customs and which you ascribe to. Because we know that with the beard, as I say, this is not a halacha lesson and we're not going to go into it. The forbiddenness is the razor, to actually take it totally to the face. A scissors is permissible. According to the Tzemach Tzedek and also many other, and many, as we know, Hasidim didn't cut their beard at all, not even with the scissors. And then there's a concept of trimming a beard, and then there's a concept of not trimming it at all. So there's all different levels of how people engaged with this mitzvah. But as we can see clearly, the main mitzvah, as you can see, is the actual razor. That's what's forbidden, that's definitely. And I just wanted to show you two beautiful ideas. So we mentioned the idea of hadras pnei zaken, which is, as we say, a man's facial dignity. This is actually a language from the Gemara. This is not from any Hasidic writings. This is from the Gemara that it says that it's hadras pnei zaken. It's a facial dignity. And as we mentioned before, the idea of not having a feminine appearance. A beautiful thing that Reb Shamshon Fel Hirsch says, I thought that was very, very beautiful. He says, the beard is meant by nature to modestly veil the purely physical functions of the mouth and the chin, which means the eating and I guess the speaking, and to bring out the spiritual part of the face, that is the forehead and the eyes. And that's why the Torah forbids the cutting of it. It's very interesting because it does put more of an emphasis where sometimes it depends on how different people's beards grow differently. Sometimes actually the mouth almost becomes totally covered, and then what do you notice more? You notice the person's eyes. Okay, that's what Shamshon Fel Hirsch says. I just want to show you something very beautiful. So obviously the chassidim, as we say, who don't cut their beard at all, or people who just trim their beard and don't use a scissors, and don't shave it, so to speak, in the permissible way. It has to do with a Kabbalistic concept. So what's the Kabbalistic concept? So that's not halacha. This is not halacha at all. This is just Kabbalah. I say just, but it's Kabbalah. So what does Kabbalah tell us? The Kabbalah explains very beautifully. It says, first of all, that we keep the beard because we're created, it's considered in the image of Hashem. And it's a very beautiful thing. It explains like this, that I'll just read you something really, really beautiful. This is from the book of Rabbi Monk, who explains very nicely. He says that a person is created in the image of Hashem. This likeness is reflected on the face of the holy man, the righteous man, enlivened with wisdom, goodness, and love. He says there is a parallel between man, a universe in miniature, and the cosmos, which means like this. He says like this, that in fascinating, he brings from the prophet of Daniel. It says that there's a he uses an allegory, obviously, because Hashem doesn't have any physical structure, right? But there's a concept that we call the head of Hashem. And it says that the head of Hashem, symbolized by an elderly man full of goodness, with hair as white as shining wool, and apparently it was like with a beard. What is it? It's obviously just symbolic. And he says like this, the beard, as the Zohar says, is the extension of the spiritual world towards the lower spheres. It symbolizes the innumerable ways through which the treasures of the kingdoms of the pure spirit flows out of the material world, and the blessings come down into the physical world. It was considered, by Chassidim, it is considered the source of tremendous blessing, that it symbolizes the idea of the blessings. Deeper than that is, we know that there's a concept of the 13 attributes of mercy, and for some reason Kabbalistically we have the 13 hairs of the beard, whatever that symbolizes, Yud Gimel Tikkunei Dikna, like 13 something of the beard, which is the idea that the beard is the compassion of Hashem. It's the flow of the mercy, of the kindness of Hashem into the world. I just want to show you something beautiful. I just want to read you one more beautiful thing that he says, because this is really, really very nice. He explains that the payas and the beard represent the tzinoiros, the channels, through which flow the goodness from the head of the universe to the material spheres. The two uppermost tzinoiros, which means the two uppermost channels, symbolizing, as it were, Hashem's holy name. In the 13 attributes of mercy, you know, it says Hashem's name. It says the first two of the 13 attributes is Hashem, Hashem. We say Hashem's name twice. Why? And it explains, one Hashem is before we sin, which means when we deserve. So Hashem gives us everything, all the goodness that he gives us. And then there's a Hashem which comes after we sin, which means even if we don't deserve. So Hashem before we sin, the Hashem that we relate, that relates to us even after we sin. And a very beautiful thing is that there's the payas and there's the beard, but there's the right side of the face and the left side of the face. And this symbolizes both ideas. He says that the right side corresponding to the right axis in the order of creation, which is chesed, the quality of loving kindness, which is Hashem before the sin, where we deserve all the goodness. And the left side, to the left of the axis, which is the Midas HaDin, justice, that's even after we sin. Hopefully we do tshuva. So then we have to relate to sin already. That's why it's the concept of gevura. But the two axes come together in the middle axis below them, that of Midas HaTiferes, glorious harmony, represented by the beard. The beard thus becomes the symbol of the glory of a man. Whoever bears these attributes upon himself is adorned with the holy name, and his face reflects the likeness of Hashem. This is taken from the Bnei Yisachar. So again, the idea of a hadras panim, this was always considered, and the compassion and the yud gimel midas harachamim, the flow of blessing that comes down, it's just obviously symbolic, and this is the idea in a very small way of what this is. So as I say, this is a thing that can have its own millions of shiurim, but we're not going to go too much into it. I just want to share one more very nice thing we mentioned about not cutting. I don't think we did the Rashi on that one. I don't think so. I just want to see something. Okay. Yeah, I want to show you something here with it. Scratch over a sole. It was a funny language. So Rashi says, what does this mean not to make a scratch? And we're talking about a scratch in the flesh. So he says, Kein darkon shel emayrin, such is the practice of the Amorites, liyais misartin bisaram, that they would scratch into their flesh, kishemes lahemes, when someone among them dies, as we said, because it was a feeling of totally being cut off. And then we have the tattoo. He says, what is a tattoo? A tattoo is a writing which is engraved and embedded, which can never be erased. For he tattoos it with a needle, and it stays dark permanently. This is Rashi writing, so it's 1,000 years ago. Now it's become very fashionable again to have tattoos, but it seems in those years it was done either as a sign of excessive mourning or as an idol worship, because they would tattoo something with the idol, something with their gods, and it was sometimes a name of their god and a sign of allegiance to their god. And that's why it was forbidden for us. But it is forbidden, a tattoo is still forbidden. That's an interesting question, what people will do, but it's its own discussion. But we know that to begin with, a person should not get a tattoo. That's not definitely not an acceptable thing in halacha. Okay, as we see, it's a permanent mark with a needle. There's obviously certain halachas of how exactly it's done and what's forbidden. Okay, just want to see. It might be that we're finished with these topics, because I'm going to move on to the next psukim. Okay. Oh, there's just one more cute thing with the beard. I saw just a very, very interesting one. It's because it's historically how it came from. So as I said, there were certain Christian, it does mention Christian, but before the Christians, there were certain idol priests of idol worship. Then there were the Christian priests, the monks. And then there was actually interesting, it said, I don't think this is from the Gemara, but it's from some of the early halachas. It said that there were certain people who would engage in robbery and stealing, people who would get together, so they were really from the lowest of society, and they would have a certain type of haircut, which would be either totally shaving their head or rounding their head. What was the idea? The idea is to make themselves less distinctive so that they could not be easily identified. Because when a person has different styles of haircuts, if you let your hair grow this way, a little bit more on the side, a little longer in the back, a little longer in the front, well, then you can be easier identified. This was a way where they would make themselves less easily identified, and this was considered a very negative thing. And why did they not want to be identified? Because they would be engaging in practices that they never wanted anybody to be able to find them. So again, all of this showing that this was a very, very negative thing that people would do. Okay, just think that's all for that. Yeah, I was at the Yud Gimel Tikkunei Dikna. That's what it's called. 13 manifestations of the compassion of Hashem. Okay. Now we're gonna move on. It's a different halacha. Okay. And as we last time, the halacha, the psukim between talk about, as we mentioned, we already discussed the respect for the Beis HaMikdash, the keeping of Shabbos, not going after those divinations, and now we come to a very beautiful mitzvah that seems very logical until now, maybe. I don't know, nowadays I think we can understand why Torah had to give us this warning very clearly. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, Mipnei Seva Sakum. You shall rise in the presence of an old person. Vahadarta Pnei Zakein. It actually is very specific. And you shall honor the presence of an elder person. Via Reisa Me'elikecha, you shall fear your God. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, your God. This is a fascinating one. It's a beautiful mitzvah. Sounds just like, as we say, respecting your elders. Let's see what Rashi tells us, and then we'll discuss it a little bit. Why did the Torah have to even tell us? I mean, isn't it obvious? It's a mitzvah that we would think is such a logical, rational mitzvah. Somebody who's older, who's had, you know, who's gone through life, deserves respect. Okay, but let's see. So first of all, Rashi qualifies. Who is a zaken? V'hadarta pnei zaken, you shall honor the presence of an elder. So first of all, Ezu Hider. What is honor? How do you honor? Oh, sorry, you know what? Let's go. Sorry, I want to do the one before. Sorry, that's first. Who, you should say, so he says, Mipnei Seva Takam. Mipnei Seva Takam, as we said, you shall rise in the presence of an old person. So he says, Yochol, one might be able to think that this commandment applies even to Zakein Ashmai, a condemnable elder, which means, the Gemara discusses it at length, what happens if somebody's not a very good person, right? He's done terrible things in his life. Do you have to respect him just because he is older? So he says, Talmud Leimar, Zakein. That's why we use the word Zakein. You see, in the first term, it's Seva. Seva is just old in the sense of years, whereas Zakein adds another dimension. What does Zakein mean? So he says, Ein Zakein Ella Shekana Chachma. We have a concept, Ze Shekana Chachma, the one who acquires wisdom. Interesting, where do you see Zakein and Ze Shekana Chachma? The word that you can see in Zakein is Kana, to acquire. What do we mean? We mean that somebody who has spent their life making good acquisitions, accumulating wisdom, experiencing life in a sense where they're growing as they get older, acquiring wisdom. So, interesting, this is a fascinating thing how that works. I'll just show you something. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Do you respect somebody just because of their age? What happens if somebody walks in and he's 80 years old and he's really done terrible things? Do you have to treat him with respect? So there's a whole discussion about that. According to most opinions, if he's taka really done terrible things, no, he doesn't get respect. But if it's an ordinary person, even not a wise person, just an ordinary person, and he's gotten to an elderly age, then you do have to show extra respect just because of his age. As long as he hasn't done terrible things. He says that an old person who was wicked and ignorant, that's what we're asking. One who was ignorant in Torah. So that's an interesting question. So as we said, if somebody is just ignorant, but they haven't done anything bad, they do deserve respect. But if somebody has done terrible deeds, then perhaps age will not help, and you don't have special commandments to respect him. Okay, I want to just show you something else. Okay, let me just see what, and we'll discuss it a little bit more in a minute, that's with other mefarshim, but I just want to see, what is this respect, that what's this, what are we talking about here? So he says, and you shall honor the presence of an elder, Ezel Hidr, what's the kind of honor? So he says, Lo Yeshev Bim Kaimai, interesting, similar to a parent. You should not sit in the elder's place, V'lo yedaber b'kaymai, nor should he speak in his place. V'lo yistar es dvarav, nor should he contradict his words. And he says an interesting thing. Very interesting. He says, Yachol yatsumeinav, one might be able to think, you close your eyes and act as if k'mishalei re'ayu, as if you didn't see the old person, and therefore avoid rising before him. So that's why it says, L'kach ne'mar v'yareisa ve'elikecha, and you shall have fear of your God. Why? Shaharei davar zeh masur l'libay shalai sehu. It's given over to the heart of the one who does it. She'ein makir bay elahu. Nobody else knows if you actually saw the person or not. Only you know if you saw the person. And Hashem knows. So Hashem knows. So you have to act in the way that's befitting because it's the right thing to do, whether you feel like it or whether you don't. It says, and therefore, v'chol davar ha'masur l'leiv ne'mar bay v'yareisa melikecha. Most mitzvahs, which are given over to the heart, which means where another person cannot tell if you are really doing it, but you yourself know, that's where it says you should fear God, because what we should always be conscious of is that Hashem knows what we are doing, and Hashem knows what our intentions are, and Hashem knows we cannot deceive, so to speak, ourselves or God. Okay, it's very interesting. Why would a person even want to not show somebody older respect? But let's see. I just want to show you something very interesting. Let me go to something fascinating. Yeah. Ah, yes, I do have one more beautiful inside. I want to show you something really, really nice inside. We'll come back to the other psukim. The Sefer HaChinuch actually explains very beautifully. What's the source? What's the idea? Why do we have to give special respect to somebody who gets older? Why? So he's older. You have to respect. You understand, when the Torah says to respect, this means in addition to the normal respect we pay another person. Because every person is supposed to treat another person with respect. Right? We know, it says, v'yahavta l'recha kamecha. We have many mitzvahs of how we treat another person. Right? You have to treat every person with dignity, and you're not permitted to steal or hurt another person or insult another person. So when we identify a certain category, what that means is that this category needs extra respect. So why do we have to treat the elderly person with extra respect? So he says like this, Mishar Shei HaMitzvah, Lefi She'ikar HaYais HaAdam Nivra Ba'ilam. What's the main purpose that a person was created and lives in the world? Hu Mepnei HaChachma. Because of wisdom. What kind of wisdom? K'dei She'yakir Ba'irei, that a person should, as they go through life, should be able to more and more and more recognize, understand, become close to his creator. As we every experience that we experience, which is what we accumulate with time, we are meant to grow with that experience, which means we have to grow in our connection, in our realization, in our recognition that Hashem is the one that runs the world and he is the one that we're experiencing. Al-Kain, Ro'i Levnei Ha'adam, therefore, it is fitting for a person, Lekabe, to honor, Mi Shehisig Aisa, somebody who has reached and grasped this recognition. Mitoich Kach, why? What happens if you honor somebody else who you see has that understanding and that wisdom? Mitoich Kach, Yis'ayru Ha'acherim Aleha, because that will awaken you to also want to acquire that. This is what in the Gemara Issi ben Yehuda says in Gemara Kedushin, Sha'afilu zokein ashmai, which is interesting how you translate that, but let's just say even a simple elderly person, in other words, a person who's not especially wise, he's lived a simple life, it doesn't seem that he's acquired any special wisdom, he looks like an ordinary person, just happens to be on his passport, he's 75, he's 85, he's 95. What makes him more special? So he says a very interesting thing. Klaimar she'enei chacham, he's not wise. Why? Still, hu bechlal ha-mitzvah, he's still included in this mitzvah. She'ro'i l'chabdoi, that it is fitting to honor him. Mepnei she'beroiv shonav, because of the accumulation of his years and his experiences. Ra'a, therefore he definitely saw v'hikir and recognized at least k'tsas. A little bit of the actions of Hashem and his wonders. And therefore, he is worthy and he is fitting that he should be honored. That's what Rabbi Yechanan says there in the Gemara. Halacha k'isi ben Yehuda. The halacha is as Isi ben Yehuda, because obviously there's a discussion, according to some opinions, if the person hasn't become any more wise, perhaps he doesn't deserve any more respect. And yet we say he does. B'zeh she'amru b'tznai Shelo yehei ba'al averus, as long as we say he's not taka a bad person. Shim kein amona atzma mikove, because then obviously he not only hasn't acquired any extra wisdom, but he hasn't, his life experiences haven't even taught him anything, right? He's rejected Hashem, so to speak. Well, then he doesn't. There's no concept of respect that should be accorded to him. But we see a fascinating thing, that just life experience alone is worthy for a person to deserve respect. And the respect that we give them is not only because they deserve respect, which is for sure true, but in order for us to internalize and to learn from that person based on their experiences and give us a deeper insight into how we should be living our life. And we all know that when you see somebody who is older in years and has more experiences, many times what happens is when we experience more things rather than less things, a limited amount of experience, which is what a younger person has, when you have a limited amount of experience in different areas, everything is more magnified, right? We know that. That's why younger children, for example, time is longer. A year is a very long time. As we age, time goes quicker in a sense. We have more of an accumulation. But there's also a positive in that, because we start hopefully to realize what is more important and what is less important. In other words, sometimes what happens is that when you're younger, something quite small, or something, even if it's not so small, but something can seem overly magnified and overly insurmountable and overly difficult and overly challenging. As you get older and you have more and more experiences, you realize, well, I did manage this and I did manage that and I did survive this, and it becomes easier in that way to see things with a bigger picture, which means that you see things from a more godly perspective. And this is how we have to look at an older person, so to speak. And what that means is, here we're talking about an age, but as we said, and the Gemara specifically says, when we're talking about a zakein, so there's two words in the pasuk, seva and zikna. Seva is really an age only. Zikna is also in wisdom. There are some fortunate people who, when they're younger, have this gift where they have extra wisdom. And hopefully the more Torah we learn and the more we engage with people of wisdom, we acquire this wisdom, and if we search for it. So it's both a person who has extra wisdom and a person of age. But the idea being that when a person has this deeper insight, they see the godliness in everything, and they see how things truly are with a much broader view. As we say, we become less narrow-minded, we become more broader-minded. And that helps us, A, see Hashem in everything, and B, be able to cope and live through things in a much, much more, with an attitude that, yes, we will be able to overcome. We will be able to succeed. We will find the meaning and the purpose in this experience, in this day. So that's a very powerful mitzvah, this one. Has a tremendous amount of meaning for us. As we say, and this is a very big thing in Yiddishkeit, we know that respecting elders and respecting those who acquire wisdom is considered a tremendous, tremendous mitzvah. For both for the person that deserves the honor, and of course for us who is giving the respect. Interesting how the Sefer HaChinuch says, Kudi says, at the root of the precept lies the reason that the main point of there was another one. Okay, we'll see soon. Another beautiful one. Now there's one more beautiful idea here. So very, very beautiful. This is to do with for everybody. It says, the pasuk says, literally, I'm just going to find the words in the pasuk again, because it's beautiful how it plays into the words. It says, Mipnei seva tokum, right? You shall rise, literally rise, in the presence of an older person. But also, if you look at it, mipnei means before, seva, an older person, get up. What does this mean, before an older person get up? So there's two things. First of all, he says, let's just on a simple level, before your old age, you must rise. So this is a lesson for us. But old age is, as we know in Torah, you know, we laugh, if somebody's 80, then old age is 100. If somebody's 100, old age is 120. So as long as we're alive, we're still growing, and Hashem is still giving us an opportunity to gain. So what we say here is something very powerful, that a person should every morning when they wake up, every time they have an opportunity, should realize that the moment is now, before we get too old, so to speak. So a person has to get up, meaning that a person has to grow, takum, grow, before you become seva, which we hope is obviously in the sense, it might be before you become incapacitated, before it's too late. It says a very beautiful thing, the way that the Zohar says, actually, before old age, he says, even before you reach an advanced age and are forced to begin contemplating the day of judgment, the Zohar tells us, arise, get an early start on repentance, so you can serve Hashem with vigor. So mipnei seva takum, in other words, get up before you get old. Don't wait till you get old. Many people say, even nowadays you find that very much, many people say, I'll settle down when I have to, so to speak. Now I can just, let's just enjoy life, you know, kind of a thing. So the Zohar says, before you get old is a time to chaperayim and make sure that your life is filled with meaning and purpose. There's another very beautiful way of looking at it, that old age might, this is a whole different take, it's like, as we say, playing on words, but seva here can be referring to the Yetzirah. How is it the Yetzirah? When a person is born, it says, the Yetzirah comes into the person, the nefesh of Bahamas, the animal soul. The godly soul actually enters slowly. And fully, the godly soul enters by the bar and bas mitzvah. Up until then, the godly soul is not fully in the person, which means which part of us is older? The Yetzirah, the negative. That's older than the Yetzirah. So when we talk about mipnei seva tokum, what we're telling the person is that in a sense, Hashem has given a head start to the Yetzirah, and we all know the world, the temptations, it's much easier to be in a bad mood than it is in a good mood. It's much easier to get angry than it is to be patient. It just seems to come more naturally. So what do we have to do? We have to be aware of that. And we have to tokum, we have to get up before the old person gets up. In other words, before we feed the Yetzirah too much. And we allow him to get away with everything. So in other words, we become habitually impatient. We become habitually whatever, all the negative things. We feed the seva, the ze'am. It's actually interesting. In Mishlei, I think it's called a melech zaken uksil. The Yetzirah is called an old foolish king. Because he starts from when we're born. So he's as old as we are. But the Yetzirah is sometimes a lot younger. The problem is when he's not just younger in years, but he's younger in energy. When we haven't given him, when we haven't fed him, when we haven't given him enough attention, when we haven't sustained him, and when we haven't allowed him to have enough say. So that's what we say over here. Make sure to get up before the old person gets up. Like that famous thing about when you wake up in the morning, wake up before the Yetzirah starts to tell you, press the snooze button. Before, mipnei seva takum. And then what will happen is you will taka be God-fearing. So just again, a little bit out of context, but very beautiful. It's a very beautiful mitzvah and has many, many different connotations. I'm just thinking we should do the next mitzvah. Do you know what? Because there's just two more mitzvahs that we will, you know, I'll just tell you, there's two more mitzvahs that will be the end of this chapter. One of them is actually have to respect. You can see, I'll just read you the pasuk, V'chi yagur itcha ger ba'artzachem. It's very beautiful how it says it, that if a convert dwells amongst you in your land, loy soinu oisai, do not harass him. This is very interesting. It is talking about how we have to treat the convert with incredible respect. Again, just to reiterate, this comes as in continuation. We mentioned about the old person, the elderly person, how we treat him with respect. Again, this means why we are highlighting these people is because they have to get an extra measure of respect in addition to the normal, to the way we treat everybody else. So here we're highlighting another person who deserves extra respect. And as we mentioned in a previous shiur, that especially nowadays, but even in those days, when somebody was willing and somebody was capable of seeing what is right over what is wrong, in other words, that despite the fact that the world bombards you with all different distortions of the truth, and the person is able to see what is good and what is pure, they deserve special respect. But there's another beautiful thing that we'll discuss next time, and I'll just leave you with this thought. Why do we highlight specially a ger? And actually, interestingly, it says that you should, why, and it's interesting, the pasuk says, ke'ezrach mikem, the one who dwells amongst you, he says, He shall be lachem. I'm sorry, yel lahem hager hagar itchem. That in other words, Ke'ezrach, he should be like one of you. He should be like a native amongst you. You shouldn't treat him differently as if he's a stranger. And then it says even more than that, v'ahavta lo kamecha, and you shall love him like you love yourself. Why? Ki gerim ha'yisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Right? You were converts. All of you are converts from the land of Egypt. And what that means over here is not converts, but you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And I am Hashem, your God. And Rashi says something very powerful. He says, well, and we're going to discuss this more next week, but I'll just tell you something interesting. What does it have to do with how you treat the convert with the fact that we were in Egypt? So it's an interesting thing. Rashi says, because you were all strangers. Mum shebecha, an imperfection that exists in you. Al taimar lechavercha, do not say to your friend. Do not taunt another with a flaw you share with him in common. You would think that because we were all strangers in Egypt and mistreated, that then if somebody comes into our land, in our domain, in our territory, and they're originally a stranger, you would think, well, we would be more sensitive because we understand the feeling of being a stranger. But Rashi shows us, and it's quite incredible, the Maharal says, unfortunately, human nature is not that way. Human nature naturally, unless you work on yourself, doesn't make you more sensitive. If you have a flaw, it doesn't necessarily make you more sensitive to another with a flaw. Rather, what it does do is it actually sometimes makes you target them, coming from a sense of insecurity, which is something to be aware of. So just because, and this happens a lot of times, just because either you've experienced something and you think, okay, because now that I've experienced that, I will understand somebody else who's experienced it, it doesn't work that way. And especially when we have something negative, when we, I don't know, whether it be a personality thing that we struggle with, we tend to be more harsh on other people with the same flaw rather than being more understanding, even though you would think we should be more understanding. And that comes, we say, it's actually interesting that most people call ha'paisel b'mumay paisel. When you find something negative in somebody else, it's usually because that is something which is really negative in yourself, and you feel insecure, you feel on rocky terms, and therefore you project it outward instead of dealing with it inwardly. And this is what he says is a fear that can happen with a ger. We'll discuss that next week in Mirtz Hashem a bit more, but you can see, and then the end of this is how to make scales, that we should make sure to make all of our scales 100%, not to deceive when in business, when somebody comes and weigh something with a different measurement that it's not meant to be weighed, so we don't steal from other people. And we'll discuss that next week in Mirtz Hashem.